The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Let's find out what's been happening in the Middle East, because clashes have continued in southern Lebanon overnight. This is despite Israel and Hezbollah accepting a US plan to implement a partial ceasefire. Channel 4 presenter Matt Fry joins me now. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Claire.
It's a bizarre situation, isn't it, where you've Donald Trump saying, well, both sides have agreed to step back while they continue to fight.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that Donald Trump has said since the beginning of the war that he started on the 28th of February that doesn't necessarily correspond 100% to the truth and is more an expression of his wishful thinking. What he wishes, without a shadow of a doubt, is that this war that he started will end sooner rather than later. He needs it to end for political reasons. The price of petrol or gas, as the Americans call it, at the pump has become unsustainable. And it has led to the fact that his popularity ratings are now lower than Joe Biden's were at his lowest point in his tenure. And of course, if his party loses the midterm elections, both in the House and, you know, perhaps even in the Senate, that would really curtail his executive power going forward. However, Donald Trump finds himself in a bind. He is caught between his political desires at home and the reality that Benjamin Netanyahu, with whom he started this war, has an entirely different calculation. And, you know, Netanyahu's calculation is that he is caught between the Americans possibly turning off the tap when it comes to Patriot missiles or other military reinforcements, which the Israelis need, and his own desire to continue the war rather than to end it. Because as far as his public is concerned, and of course he also faces elections in October, the Iran war and indeed the Hezbollah war is unfinished business.
Tehran this morning saying on Iranian state television that the Iranians could suspend the US talks over these continuing strikes on Lebanon. So it's not just a case of let Benjamin Netanyahu get on with what he is doing in Lebanon. This affects the entire peace, doesn't it?
It does. So Benjamin Netanyahu has Trump by the short and curlies, as they say in some parts of the world, because essentially if Netanyahu doesn't like whatever agreement the Americans have struck with Iran, he can, you know, it's in his gift to carry on the war by either attacking Iran or by attacking Hezbollah. The Iranians, who've been, remember, they've been massively weakened in recent years by Israel's ability to deplete their regional networks, you know, of proxies, whether it's Hamas in the Gaza Strip, whether it's the Houthis in Yemen or in Syria, which of course is gone because Assad was toppled. But most importantly, Hezbollah, which is the most powerful non-state army on the planet, or certainly was until it started being pummeled by the Israelis. So it's absolutely essential for the Iranians to maintain some degree of their regional power network. And of course, the Israelis are doing everything they can to deplete it. But what you've got to remember, Claire, is that President Trump, the author of the art of the deal, a man who likes to kind of, you know, tell you the highway, my way or the highway, who hates the idea of being beholden to anyone, has now realized that he is actually quite dependent on Benjamin Netanyahu. And he has expressed his frustration. This story came out late last night in a number of expletives, which I can't possibly mention on your show, but at least two of them begin, one of them begins with a letter F, telling, you know, Netanyahu, his supposedly great buddy, that they are, you know, that he was crazy and that he was blowing the whole region up, which many people would argue is true and has been true for a very long time. The other interesting thing is that in this post on social media, in which Trump was much more polite but coolly so about Benjamin Netanyahu, he also mentioned the fact that he had been talking via proxies directly to Hezbollah. Now, no American president, as far as we know, has ever publicly declared that they have talked to Hezbollah. So Trump is really reading Netanyahu the riot act. The question is, will Netanyahu, who's got his own issues at home, listen?
Well, it seems not, because despite Donald Trump saying everyone hates you, unsurprisingly, perhaps that didn't affect Benjamin Netanyahu, and he continued on with those strikes against Hezbollah. Despite, as I said at the beginning, this weird situation where everyone says, oh yeah, there's a ceasefire in place, and yet both sides continue to attack each other. And it says an awful lot, doesn't it, about the authority of Donald Trump, the authority of America, because on the other side of this, you've Marco Rubio pleading with the UN now to help them open the Strait of Hormuz. And that help isn't coming, it seems.
And that's been the story of this war, hasn't it? America exercising supreme military power at the very beginning by decapitating the Iranian regime, which they thought would lead to its toppling. That has not been the case. It wasn't, by the way, the case in Venezuela either, which was a much more elegant operation from a military point of view. But America, because of choices it has made and because it is judged against the, you know, the preposterous nature of its own boisterous rhetoric, America is being shown the limitations of its own power. And in a way that Russia is in Ukraine, by the way. So this has really been the story of recent months, to what extent the world's superpowers, and let's say Russia is part of that because of its nuclear capability, you know, have been humbled by much smaller and weaker and poorer powers because they've been able to basically leverage America in a very clever way. And in the Iran war, it's both leveraging Israel and its unpredictable nature, and it is leveraging the Strait of Hormuz and its impact on the world economy. And I don't think Trump ever thought that Netanyahu would go rogue on him because of the client dependency that Israel has on the United States. But of course, Netanyahu is a survivor, and he's highly transactional and pragmatic, and he doesn't frankly care whether the world hates him or Israel, as long as the Americans don't, at the end of the day, cut off, you know, all military aid to Israel. And that's where he may come in for a nasty surprise, because for the first time in a long time, the Republican base is beginning to fray around the question of Israel. And in the MAGA camp, whether you listen to Megyn Kelly or Tucker Carlson, the tribunes of Trump in the past, they're being very openly critical, using the kind of language that Trump used to Netanyahu, about Netanyahu, on their social media platforms, which have millions of followers. Yes. So Israel also better be careful that it doesn't lose American support in all this.
They are interesting characters that you mention, aren't they? Because they will go with whatever way the wind is blowing, or the way they perceive the wind to be blowing. So clearly there is a grassroots pushback against Israel coming through now. I mean, you're talking about Megyn and Tucker, these podcasters now, who aren't really thought leaders. They're thought followers. Am I right?
Well, I disagree with that, actually. I think they are, to some extent, they're thought followers, but they also follow their own instincts. I mean, Tucker Carlson, whatever you may think of him, and I never thought I'd be defending Tucker Carlson on Irish radio.
Off you go.
I think he thinks quite carefully about stuff that is going on both in America and in the world. And, you know, you may very well disagree with most of what he thinks, but he thinks about it. And I think he thinks that Israel has been given a free ride when it comes to its behavior in Gaza and elsewhere in the region. And he doesn't want America, especially when you do believe, and he thinks as he does, that America has to stand strong and essentially alone and by its own principles. That is not the case when you do Israel's bidding for it in a distant war, which you had pledged never to, you know, go back to. So I don't know. I think Tucker is not so much following public opinion, but I think he's following his own instincts and ideology here. Other people are beginning to follow him.
Do you remember he went to Russia just after Donald Trump was elected this time, and Donald Trump clearly was appeasing Putin? Tucker Carlson goes over there and does that sycophantic interview with him, and almost a tourist video in and around Moscow, because he felt that that's what everybody wanted him to do. Now I feel that he thinks that Republicans and the MAGA base would like him to push back against this alliance with Israel, and therefore that's where he is going. And the same with Megyn Kelly. I mean, all of those millions of listeners and followers, that's their lunch. So they want to know what these people want to eat, essentially.
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Again, for fear of being in the Tucker camp here, but I was always puzzled by the fact that he would go to Moscow and do that extraordinarily sycophantic advertisement interview for Vladimir Putin. But then it brought me back to this thought, which has been sort of lingering in the back of my head for some time. Why do these hardcore MAGA Republicans love Donald Trump's Vladimir Putin so much? And I think it's one, his projection of strength. They just love power and power projection, as does Donald Trump with Putin. But also, perhaps more importantly, his war on woke. You know, the last thing you can accuse Putin of being is woke. And he has been, you know, anti-LGBTQ+, anti-woke culture, anti-political correctness in his own culture wars for a very long time. And I think people like Tucker really appreciated that. And plus, they thought that Ukraine was always a bit corrupt and not worth defending. And by the way, it was yet another foreign war in Europe that America was in danger of getting involved in. So there is a sort of weird consistency to what they've been saying. But over getting back to the Israel question, the MAGA base is falling out of love with Israel. Not all of them. I think a lot of them are still very supportive, but it's, that movement is growing. You add to that toxic mix a little bit of traditional anti-Semitism, which makes it stronger. And that's where some people might be coming to this conclusion. And again, if you are Donald Trump, you realize that you've created a trap into which you now fall. And if you're Benjamin Netanyahu, however much you dislike Trump and don't like him and think that he's silly, you have to rely on America at the end of the day. Israel cannot do what it's doing in the region, throwing its weight around without the support of America. And that is under question in a way that it has not been for a very long time.
Matt, always good to talk to you. Thank you very much for being with us. That's Matt Fry from Channel 4 News.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.